Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching never changed anything.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House, and today we got a very special guest. Today's live stream, HOPE, and that's an acronym for Housing Our People Everywhere, with a very special guest, Chris Collins. So we'll be back right after this.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, there's some Jamarian Styles motivation to get the day started. If he can do it, achieve what might appear to be the impossible, playing basketball, particularly going out for the team and making a team, then scoring in a game without hands, then we have absolutely no excuses. Now, our live stream today is HOPE, H-O-P-E, acronym for Housing People Everywhere. Special guest is Chris Collins. But to set Chris up, I'm going to play something dealing with housing that I think is a solution that we play on here quite often. But let me play this, and then we're going to bring on Chris Collins live. 619-768-2945 is the call-in number for It's My House.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right, it's time for, I guess he'll be here in a second, but he's here already. Today's podcast is titled HOPE would appear at each one of those letters, and that's an acronym for Housing Our People Everywhere. And you're going to be on a treat on this interview. Chris Collins, I met him through Clubhouse, one of my daily hangouts. I think I met him last Friday. That particular room on Clubhouse, they call them rooms in Clubhouse, started at 7 a.m. So I'm glad I was up and at him, and I'm glad Chris was in the room. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here.
Well, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us about HOPE, H-O-P-E.
Okay. I was introduced to a commercial material that is being used in every city across the country and throughout the world. And it's not being used on the residential level, but it was more what was happening to the world and what we were doing with the resources that it was happening with. So I stepped away from profit in 2005 because of greed. And I knew that there was a lot of need. And when Hurricane Katrina happened, a gift just came to me and it started evolving, but it was to recover and rebuild that disaster out of using the recycled steel from it and build a home that don't burn, don't absorb water. It's stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable. Build it without a dumpster, build it cheaper than wood, and get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home anywhere you stick it. And after a disaster, they raised the rates. And this region was destroyed. It's still destroyed. It's not rebuilt. It's not what it was. And the reason why is because I didn't get the scrap metal and I didn't get to continue to build, but I did build one. In 2006, I built a 2,500 square foot home right where the eye came across for Hurricane Katrina. That house is up 10 feet off the ground on stilts, but the termites can't eat it. And it's getting these insurance savings, and every person down there had to pay 200% in insurance versus what they were paying before Katrina. And this house is actually paying less money than it was before Katrina. And since then, I had to prove all my theories to be a fact. I did. I went to Cedar Rapids. I put a program together with the city there that will pay up to $54,000 or $56,000 of your mortgage if you build it green after their flood in 2006. We did this in 2007. And they've been flourishing buildings since. I built one tiny home there in 20 minutes with cordless screw guns with 14 inches of snow on the ground just to show if we were there for 8 hours and we were 40 strong instead of three guys. And went to Nashville and I showed 25 people how to gut a home that was flooded in 2010 in 30 minutes or less. And I asked each of them to go show 25 people what I just showed them. And the multiplicity of that, we did 17,000 homes in 60 days, and it was all done by volunteers, but it was all done the same way. And now, when I left Nashville, I came back to Bloomington, Illinois, and I built a home out of recycled cars from Hurricane Katrina. I built it in the middle of the woods with cordless screw guns to prove I could do it in any jungle on the planet, with five people that never touched the material before in their life, and it was deemed the best-built home in the city by every building inspector, and it was built with no dumpster. It's an 1,800-square-foot home, and the highest electric bill's been $25. The highest gas bill's been the highest gas bill's been $25. The highest electric bill's been $45. But the central air unit has never turned on since the day it was installed. It has a heating system in the floor. It melts the snow off the driveway and the sidewalks, and also the driveway and the sidewalks glow in the dark at no cost to the resident. But the attic is the same temperature as the house. At 103 outside, it was 68 degrees in the attic and in the garage and in the living room and in every other room of the house. And I got a letter written to President Obama from Congress, and they hand-delivered it in the Oval Office, and It said that we had created a way to give the homeless homes and the jobless jobs by recovering and rebuilding these disasters. And every disaster since Nashville has been cleaned up this way, and the material gets set out on the street in two separate piles so a clam bucket truck can come by and pick it up. And right now I'm working to do this down in Florida in a few different cities to start utilizing that material so that we can create a sustainable way of life in these devastated areas immediately, but also give immediate housing. We have machinery that will produce up to 36,000 linear feet of material a day. We have three of those factories right there in that southern region, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas. But there's enough opportunity here to create unity in every community, giving an equal opportunity. And it doesn't matter where you came from, it's what you're going to be. And we would just want to energize them, and we want to see just what kind of people or what kind of creations people can come up with, because you're a creator every second of the day. Is it a positive creation or a negative creation? That is a question that you have to answer yourself and to no one else. But we will see who you are when you find out who you truly are. Everyone has a purpose, and you need to find it. But I want you to find what you enjoy more than anything else in the world so that you don't feel that you ever went to work. You get up with excitement, looking forward to what's about to happen.
All right. Chris, there was a there was a guy that happened to be homeless on the clubhouse room we were on Friday. For let's say somebody is, they might not be homeless, but let's say they're really struggling with a mortgage payment or rent payment. What suggestions do you make for if they wanted to learn how to build their own home?
Well, this is ABC 123 way of building. We can give you panelized walls that you just stand up, or you can put them together yourself. I just built a tiny home with a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old two Novembers ago, and they built the entire frame in 2.5 hours. And mortgages, you know, they're there to make money, and you're going to pay four times what you're originally paying for that house if you continue to do that. The way this can be done, just as that interview, you know, went right before I started speaking, he is exactly right. And we take our houses, we can take them 100% off the grid. And we want people to understand that by just coming in and doing something positive in your community, doing one of these projects, maybe it's not the house that you move into, but if you're changing the narrative of what you see in your city, you're giving people a hand up, not a hand out, but you can change what you are spending. That man was 100% correct. You can get down to, you know, $200 a year in propane. That is amazing. I've got a farm that I am trying to get set up to run totally self-sustaining, and we just got the well put in, and I was able to share some of the pictures of we were doing that. And like he said, you can do it yourself, because we did.
Now, you mentioned just a few moments ago, teenagers. So run that back through us, man. I need to process that myself. We've played stories about teenagers on here before, but you've got more direct experience with them. They came in not knowing anything?
Yes, and I just did a youth program. It started in Lafayette, Louisiana, in our factory. It's outside Lafayette, but the houses went to Lafayette. It was a Habitat built, and the adults were building a home next door. These kids came into our factory. They put two frames together. They never touched a saw. All they had was a screw gun in their hand and half-inch screws that drill themselves and attach everything together. And they went out to the site and stood up under trusses and this other house already had the walls standing, and they were meaning to put trusses on it. And these kids had never touched that material before, and they just outbuilt the adults. And they built a house that's superior to the one next door. And they built it for the same price. And the other part is every one of these kids are not only learning something, but they're earning something. Because every hour that they're putting in, they're earning a home. And when they graduate, they're going to get one. And they're all going to build it together. And we're going to build the community with the community. But it's time to give our children something positive to do in the afternoon. First grade through eighth grade can design the homes, the high school students, the parole prisoners, and the job creation is going to build. And it's time for them to design the cities of the future because it's their future, and they are the now. We always say they're the future leaders of the world. No, they're the leaders of the world now because they're pure love, and they haven't been tainted the way adults have. And we want that love to be able to be the forefront of what this world is about.
All right. Great, great. Now, tell us a little bit about, because we got people that are tuning in more than usual, so thank you, Chris, for that. More about the organization HOPE, which stands for Housing Our People Everywhere. Matter of fact, tell us how you got started with that.
Well, I got started because I had a greedy partner, and he told me that my business, my profit business, was in his name. And I told him that the business was in my head. He said, well, that was awful grandiose. I was 32 years old, but at 30, I learned what grandiose the word meant. And I was like, no, sir. I said, this is grandiose. I made a grandiose statement. And I don't like to live in anything that way. This isn't about me. It's about we. And I just try to empower others and show them how strong they are. But it happened during the month of Katrina happened, August in 2005. And that was when I walked away from Profit and I said, no one will ever take my life from me again. I will give it away. And I ain't never missed a meal. And I ain't never had to steal. And I know that everybody can do this, and we don't have to tear people down, stomp on them, tell them that, and degrade them. They need to be, you know, uplifted. They need to know that every person on earth is equal. And because we're not getting things equally, and you were born on the other side here, maybe your family got a better strike at life than what you did. Well, it's time for us to strike back and actually give everyone an equal part of life. And it doesn't matter where you are on this planet. I know that the palm of your hand is pink. And if you show me the palm of your hand, I'll show you peace on earth, because I can take a pistol out of your hand and put a pistol grip right back in it. And every time you aim it and pull the trigger, you save a life. But that other one's saving lives too, because it ain't in your hands. And we don't have to do this with weapons of mass destruction. We do it with weapons of reconstruction.
And people, just to break that down, he's talking about a cordless drill, okay, which I really love that idea. If anybody's got any questions for Chris Collins, 619-768-2945, just press 1, and we'll patch you in directly to him. Matter of fact, we would like to, we'll be partnering with Chris to do some offline workshops where Chris will be the main attraction. So, and we'll let you know about that. It won't be just in one location, because I know we have listeners all over the place now. Specifically, now we've got our 4 acres down here in Florida, but for people that can't come to Florida for whatever reason, we'll probably do something not in Chicago, but probably about 45 minutes to an hour outside of Chicago in the Pembroke Hopkins Park area. I'm just talking off the top of my head, because that's where I've been up that way. And then, of course, if we get interest in other places. But right now, But if you have any interest, let me know. And you can text me or call me at 425-520-0605. That's 425-520-0605. Just call or text me on that if you have any interest in Chris. You know, we can do a workshop or whatever in your neck of woods. But we're going to start off. We don't have any dates yet. I just met Chris on Clubhouse this past Friday. And speaking of Clubhouse, if you're not familiar with that app, I would suggest download it. You know what? Contact me and I can get you in there some kind of way. And it's free. But and now we have a club on there, and that club is Don't Spell Mama's House. And I'm not going to get into all that logistics of that today. But we want to concentrate on this. So 619-768-2945. If you have any questions, ask Chris Collins directly. I like his ideas dealing with the youth. And we got one call here at 267. Your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. It's Sister Bay.
Good
How are
morning.
You?
Fine.
I'm listening, but sometimes I'm walking away from the phone, so I don't know if the gentleman already said his area. I know he's all over as far as the building, but what is his home state, if you don't mind saying that?
I'm in Illinois, and you say you're in L.A.?
No, that's who she was calling me. Yeah, her name is Sister Van. She's in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So I was wondering where his home state was. So it's in Louisiana, you said?
No, Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Yes, it sounds like some very interesting and exciting information. So that's all I wanted to ask where he was at. I know he's all over, but that's amazing that he's being able to build this particular way and talking about helping out the planet. Great thing. All right, that's all.
All right, thank you, Sister Beth. Yeah. Chris, for me, I try to steer people to rural areas because this is just my personal opinion. You have more freedom to do what you want to do in a rural area. But you do have quite a few people that live in, you know, big metro areas and urbanized cities. So explain or share with us, rather, how HOPE, your organization, helps people in that might be living in Philadelphia, which is I think they're the fifth or sixth largest city in the United States. So you got a lot of people that live in those type cities.
Oh, no, definitely we do. I want to work with every city. There's not a, and it doesn't matter what continent you're on. We can create this. You can create all the income. You can never ship anything from anywhere across seas to be able to do this. I have many partners. I've collaborated with over 1,000 different entities. We want to promote green building. We want something. My house can be recycled 1,000 times, and it can last 1,000-plus years. That means our children have a legacy to live on forever as they create a museum that everyone can see. But also, every street they go down, they can say, that's part of me. What you're living in, everyone needs to be involved in, because every person deserves a home. And all it takes is people to step up. You tell me, you claim a problem, or you tell me a problem, I'm going to claim the problem, because that's what the first thing we have to do. And one of the problems is we had Section 8 all over the country, and it was designed to hold people down. Well, I spoke with Ben Carson, gave them a plan. They put it into legislation. They passed it. And if you're on Section 8, you don't have to have a slumlord. You can be a landlord. You can own that home. That's change. But I try to be the change I want to see. And all it takes is for me to share something and for people to understand with common sense. You tell me a reason not to do it. You know, I tell people this, you know, I can give you 10 positive reasons to build out of this. Can you give me one positive reason to build out of wood? And I tell them if they can give me one positive reason, I'll shut up. And I've met over a million people, and not one of them has gave me a positive reason to build out of an organic product that filters our air, that we are cutting down perfectly good, healthy trees, that each one of them, if they're 100 years old, that's 100 years of carbon being released back into the atmosphere every time one's taken down. It disturbs the ground. It all comes back up. And, you know, taking out deadfall is one thing. But when we got millions of acres in California that was burning, I gave Governor Newsom 4 years ago a legislation that needed to be done. It needed to be written. I gave them the plan how to do it. And they did it. They put, you know, I don't know the legal jargon how to do it. So I asked them to do it. And I've never got any government money with my 501c3 charity. I don't like asking people for donations. I want everybody to know on earth that this is hope, this is real, and you all own it. And now it's what you do with it. And if you share this message, you're caring. So sharing is caring. And as we start showing, people start knowing. And knowledge is everything. And we need everybody to know. So I decided to partner with every child on earth. And every child's going to become the teacher, because they're going to come home and tell their parents, look what I did today. And guess what? You can come help me tomorrow. And now we can get the family unit to actually be doing something positive that they've never done. Get off the couch. It's time to change. But for us to have people outside in the winter, it don't make sense, because it's illegal for you to have your animal outside, but it's okay to have your mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, your dad, your grandson, your granddaughter. That's okay. That don't make sense. So let's put some common sense behind it. Do one common goal. Get the people off the street and on their feet with a hand up, not a hand out. And it will save every one of us money. But I figured out ways, the money you're spending every day, that could go toward this project, and it wouldn't change anything in your budget except for putting money back in your pocket. And by doing that, it also put money into this project, and I thought that was a wonderful idea.
All right, so if anybody's interested, matter of fact, Chris, you have a website for people that would want to check that out. Could you get that to us, please?
Yes. It's forhousing.org. You can also use hopeforhousing.com. You can use the number 4.org, so hope, the number 4.housing.org. I didn't get the fourth one for the .com, but, you know, you can make a mistake and still find this thing in three ways. And I'll give out my phone number, because the phone number that's on that website won't go to anybody that's in my organization. It'll come to me, because I want everyone to receive the same message, and no one will receive what I'm saying the same way, because everyone is an individual. So I want everyone to get the same message. And when I reach everybody, then I'll wind up changing the phone number. But until then, I'm ready to meet everybody on earth.
Okay, and that number, Chris? Oh, it's already on your website, right?
It is, 309-542-6319. And if anybody wants to do anything, you can reach out. We can, as little as a week, have material sitting there, or maybe even a home. I've got 70 people that are working in Tennessee with one of my collaborations. And we're putting out 4 complete 8-foot by 20-foot homes with a kitchen and a bathroom. They can be 100% off the grid, or they can be hooked up to the city sewer and water. And we're about to try to be putting 70 more on to start a second shift and then a third. But this is about job creation, but it's also about fixing a need.
All Now, Chris, you have an assembly line system for this. Could you share, I mean, about what's your output daily, which I find really fascinating?
Well, if you were looking at the 120 feet of material per minute that comes out of our machine, that cuts it precisely to what it needs to be. It punches the holes for the electrical and the plumbing. And the machine doesn't show up late for work, doesn't complain. And all it does is when it runs out of material, it wants more. And it creates jobs. It creates, opportunity. You know, unity is you and I together's why. And hope, you said, you know, is that the acronym is housing our people everywhere, but I give people a double dose of it. Humans on planet Earth housing our people everywhere. And we've got ways of growing food. We can grow 5 acres of food in a shipping container. We do build shipping container homes as well. We're working on setting up a manufacturing facility right now on a 20-acre place there in Florida. We can also create water from air, 6% humidity with 100% clean drinking water, 11,000 liters a day, and doesn't cost a dime after it's put in place. We can clean the water that comes in from these disasters and put it back out. There's so many systems that with these creations, is someone done, but how they became a reality was by sharing them. So I ask everybody to engage. Tell me what's on your mind, because this organization, your words matter, and they will have action.
Great. All right, now for people, all right, wait, now we plan on collaborating with Chris Collins, who's our guest, special guest today. We have 4 acres here in Florida. We want to do something on the ground, and this is dealing with housing, building stuff, up in the Chicagoland area. We haven't picked the exact location yet, but it'll be probably about four, within the Pembroke Hopkins Park area up in that neck of the woods. Cook County, I know that the jury's out on that. Yeah, Chris.
If I can. Yeah, I was going to say something about that. I just partnered with the city of North Chicago and the Great Lakes Naval Base and Goodwill Services we're starting a workforce training program. I got a 15,000 square foot building up there we're going to build 100 independent units inside of it, take homeless people from out in off the street there in Chicago and run them through the program and create jobs on the naval base and also be building homes and getting people off the street. So half the building is going to be the other kind of jobs that are going to be going on for the naval base. And half the building is going to be construction, going out the back, building homes and starting to set up communities and get these people moving in a forward direction through transitional housing.
Great, great. There's a group out of Chicago, Mama Evelyn. I got to call her up and tell her about this. But, yeah, because we definitely want to have something for the youth. But you offered something for everybody out there that wants to learn something. Now, there are people out here that are not interested in living in a tiny house for whatever reason. Maybe they want it as an ADU, a seller, what do you call it, accessory dwelling unit for extra income. I guess fundamentally what you guys teach, that can apply to that as well, couldn't it?
No, that's what it's all about. You just did something with your family. You built it right in your driveway, and you turn around and go in your backyard, and you actually stand this up. You can turn it into an Airbnb. It can be an additional dwelling unit for someone in your family when they come and visit. It can be something for your kids when they come back from college, and it can be an income. I mean, you know, let's look at it that way, because, you know, I know that 10% of this country owns 90% of the money, and I know 90% of us are splitting 10% of the money, and it's not doing it equally. So I went out and partnered with over 250 Fortune 500 companies, and Amazon, Walmart, Starbucks, Home Depot, Lowe's, anything you can think of, if you're going to spend money, you pay for that through this app, and you get cash back at the end of the month, and we get a donation. And if we got a penny out of the billion items that's going to be sold on Amazon today, why would I ever need to ask for a donation? We have it coming in. And it's, but what it did by taking that 15% from them, so you get up to 15% cash back for going to Walmart, and you in line or online, doesn't matter. You can make your Kohl's card your payment source and get your benefits from that. You can make your Chase card that, get the rebates from that, and this, get up to 20% your money back at the end of the month in cash. You can spend any way you want. And know that a percentage of that cash came back into this community and other communities to make sure that we have the funding to be able to do this without messing with any other budgets, but also by relieving those budgets and releasing that money so our taxes can go down. You know, when you look at how economy works, if we take 15% from the 10% and we only had 10% to begin with, now we got 25. So now we got 150% more money than we're all giving to them, but now we're getting it. What should we do with that? That's life-changing. That's us opening our eyes and realizing that don't put this in the back of your mind. You know, your brain can only take in 40 megabytes of information per second as you hear it. But if you see it, your eyes, you visualize this, it processes 200,000 times faster. But you can still only retain 40 megabytes of information per second in your conscious level. But in your subconscious, you're processing 200,000 megabytes of information per second. So we want people to actually be thinking in the back of their mind and bring it to the forefront, and don't let this go to the wayside. This is information that I've been trying to give for 17 years. It's been the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life was to give this away, because people look at it as it's too good to be true. Well, the only way it's not true is if you don't make that difference. If you don't share what you're learning. You know, we've been able to get 20% of every electric and gas bill in 17 states and 26 countries with a company that's been in business since 1993. This isn't a new thing. It's a you thing, because now 20% of everybody's bill in Illinois can go to this by you putting an account number in a website. That website will never ask you for a credit card. It's not asking you to make a payment. It's asking you to make the payment at the end of the month to that company so that that company will give back 20% of your bill and save you from going up. You know, everybody's bills are going up. I know you can't say this or not, because everybody on here will hear it and say it, and they know it. And this locks your bill. So now what you're paying today, you'll be paying in 2 years. And right now we're in a thing we don't know what's about to happen. So I tried to claim the problems, come up with a solution, because there's a solution for every problem. But our children are the solution to every adult's problem, and they're inheriting every one of them. And we, as adults, need to give them that opportunity by just opening our eyes and seeing what's in front of us.
Great. Anybody's got any questions for Chris? Chris Collins was our special guest today, 619-768-2945. Press 1. We'll patch in directly to him. Chris, now, you briefly touched on this during this live stream so far, but I want to, if you can go into more detail, I guess this would be a social problem where speaking of people who have guns, particularly men who have guns, young men who have guns, and exchanging them for another type of gun. From destruction to reconstruction, could you go through that concept?
Yes, and I actually, you know, went into, walked up to some gangbang guys that were, I'm not going to say where they were at in the country, and, you know, they were looking at me all funny, and every one of them was packing, and I happened to have one of those screw guns in my hand, or in my car, and I got it out, and I told them, I said, you see this gun? I said, this gun right here will change what you see right here in your community today. I said, do you like seeing that guy over there that's homeless walking down that street pulling that cart? He was like, no. I said, what about the kids? You think they should be able to see that? You think that guy might be dangerous because he's trying to survive and something might actually happen to a kid or someone else? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, I said, if you give me your gun, I'll give you this gun, and I'll help you build a home for you and your family. I said, would you give me your gun? And I had three of them that were ready to hand it to me. And I said, the thing is, I said, I don't want to take your gun because I can't hold it. I said, this ain't the way to go about it, but I wanted to know whether you were willing. And by the time when I was done with that, all six of them told me that they were ready to go and start to change the children because of how much of a sponge they are. They're only learning what they see. And they don't know envy. They don't know hatred. They don't know how to yell and scream other than they're saying they're hungry. But it would be more of a cry. They don't know anything in anger until they meet us. So we need to step back and meet them. And I was trying to show these guys that it don't have to be about violence. We can stop the violence. We can stop the silence of the people with no voice because you all have one. And if you share yours with me, I will scream right beside you just to excite you because that's what we need. I want excitement. I want joy. I want people to do something that they don't do anymore. They don't say hello. They don't say hi. People go around this world with blinders on, and they're in the dark, and every one of you are a light, and I want to get it turned on. My mission in life is to ignite a fire in your heart that water will never put out, but start an inferno that will never burn you.
Great. Once again, 619-768-2945. We are special guest is Chris Collins. His organization, HOPE, which is an acronym, housing our people everywhere. If you have any questions to ask them directly, just press 1 once you dial into that number, and then we'll patch you into him directly. Chris, on the Clubhouse call that we were on last Friday morning, there was a homeless gentleman on there. I've talked to him a few times over the last few months. I just got on Clubhouse myself late January of this year. Let's say a homeless person that is of sound mind, but they're willing. How can you help them?
Well, I'll give you an example. I just helped seven people that were in an encampment for a year living as a community in the woods. The property got bought. The woman put a trespass warrant on them. They had 24 hours or they were going to jail, and they had to take down everything they had put together in a year. And it's been an encampment for 18 years. Never had an issue. Nobody tried to run nobody off. Loaded them up in a U-Haul truck and took them over to my 2.5 acres that was undeveloped. And it's all grass, but it butts up to heavy industrial property. And I put them over there into that corner. And it's all trees, so it's separated. It's not like it was. They were looking at something ugly. It actually was nice. But I let them set their tents up. My city complained about it. And it was my property. I own it. The bank don't own it. But they complained about it. They just fined me $7,360 because I let these people stay there for 6 weeks. And I even put a porta potty there. I made sure that everything was sanitary. And them moving into homes right now, they went from a 30-pack at 12 o'clock. 30-pack, they were drinking a 30-pack each by 12 o'clock in the day. And they don't touch any alcohol till 3 o'clock, but there's only one person that's still drinking at 3 o'clock. He only drinks for a couple hours, but he has control over himself. But I gave him rules. They had to be respectful, and I gave them respect, and I gave them dignity. And my land looks like a golf course. They have cleaned it up so beautiful, mowed it, weed-eated everything. And when I told them that, look, I don't want you to die on my property because you're living in a tent and you freeze to death, I said, so we've got a week. I want to find everybody somewhere that you're going to be able to move into and move forward. And I've got people that are working full-time jobs right now. One of them's already in a house. I got two veterans and another guy that are going to move into another three-bedroom apartment. And I've got two young people that go from, they're 29 and 24, but they really have a mentality of about a 15-year-old. And I'm not getting the support to help them. She is maybe going to get a little support, but he's still left to the wayside, a 29-year-old that needs guidance. He's got a good heart. He's ready to go at a drop of a hat. But every one of these people are holding their head high. They realize that they had a future, and one of them has been drinking for 8 years. He has been sober for 18 days. He stopped altogether, and he is a totally different person. But last year, he burnt 60% of his body inside of a tent trying to stay warm. And he had to heal himself out in those woods. But when he came over here, he realized, and after I come over and talk to him, that I'm like, you have so much more in life, and you don't have to try to disappear from reality by putting a substance in your body. I said, because let's make reality great. So they made their camp great. They made what they had to look at, what they had to deal with, and what they went through on a daily, the best they possibly could. And I'm proud of them. So these were seven people that every organization in town said that they couldn't help, and they were helpless, and you couldn't do anything with them. And every one of them have showed that they're totally different people now. And it was just because I gave him respect.
Now, hold that thought, Chris. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome to Camp Huge.
This 11-year-old spent her summer turning the inside of this camper from this to this.
I was looking through an American Girl magazine, and I saw a camper for $650 for an American Girl, and it was a very nice camper. My dad said that was really expensive for us, so he said that we could get a real camper for that amount of money. So then I went out and I started looking for one. We saw down the road a house had a camper for sale that I had been looking at for a while. So I really wanted to get it, and the guy said it was for $500. And then I told him $400 because that was what I had, and he said sold.
And the total cost of renovations thus far, $400.
We had looked on Pinterest and saw a lot of cool camper ideas, and I liked this PT boho style with lots of plants and different colors and sea glass and driftwood, that style. So I liked that, and we decided to paint the camper walls white and then our kitchen cabinet turquoise. So this is my dining area. I got this from our potting shed that had dust and dead flies all over it, so we cleaned it up, and that's what we got. We planted some plants from Dollar General in there. We have all of this on the backside came from our house, except for that one picture back there from Dollar General. And a fun fact about these, this table and these cabinets, they flip down into a bed, and so does this. And then over here we have the kitchen, where we can't quite cook stuff yet, but it's very decorative. And this is our refrigerator, just the inside of it. And then if we walk a little further down, we have right here, these are very nice decals that we got for a dollar at the Dollar Tree. And then if we walk a little bit farther in here, we have a mirror that we painted the edges that came with the camper originally. And we have a closet over here, and it says Lauren's Little Camper. I got this sign from my neighbor who made it for me. And then we keep walking, and now we're in the bedroom. So we have four beds in here, and we got these really cute mattresses off of Etsy.
She painted most of it herself. She had her grandma come over the one day and help with the cupboards, but I would be gone for the day, and I'd come home, and she'd say, like, you could tell, and I'd say, how long were you in here? And she's like, oh, I painted about 4 hours straight.
Well, I'm very creative and artistic, so I love to paint and draw and stuff like that. So it kind of came to me naturally.
With this COVID thing, it's kind of interrupting her fun that she wants to have in it. But she's making the best of it.
Lauren hopes to be able to have friends over soon, but a chance to get away from home works for now.
I hope you enjoyed my camper tour. Thanks for stopping by.
This is Inside Edition Digital.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, these your cars? I said, no. He said, I just bought this house, man. I said, all right, that's what's up. He was like, you know whose cars he is? He said, no. He said, well, I bought the house, not the cars. Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, we finna fix this house. I said, what kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, these my friends. The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, Chris. First, what are your thoughts on Lauren Nelson? She's 12 years old right now. That video was done, that audio was done when she was about 10. And then the news people got hold of her when she was 11, but she's 12 years old now. So your thoughts on that?
That's exactly what I was saying. You show me the palm of your hand, I'll show you what we can get done. When I showed 25 people how to get a home that they've been working on, they've been in this neighborhood. There was 14 houses we did from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And all I did was say, maybe I know something you don't. And by sharing that information, showing them that all they had was a 4x8 section that was in front of them, and when they were done, we were done. And we did 14 homes in 4 hours. And I asked them to go show 25 people what I just showed them, because 25 people is 50 hands, and you will be shocked what you can pick up. You will be shocked what you can pick up. And this was a perfect example of what people coming together, unity, you and I together's why. Taking that T and making it a plural word gives you the definition. But if you take unity out of community, you don't have one. You take unity out of opportunity, you don't have one. Well, we don't have unity, but we do if we come together. So let's do that. Let's take the blinders off. Let's say hello. Look sideways. I've had two incidents in my city of elderly women. One of them was my mother. And she fell in 95-degree weather, and 45 minutes, 50 to 100 people walked by her and never called 911. There was a camera that our city's viewing, and they didn't call. And she had a broken elbow. And another lady, I just heard it yesterday, and this lady was out laying on the ground in a parking lot, and all the customers had walked by this lady. Nobody tried to help. We need to stop. You know, we put on masks and we walk in stores and everybody wearing masks. Man, when a mask man walked in the store, we had a problem. But because the government says we wear masks and that now we're going to make it acceptable to understand what we do and how we do. And it's something that every person, I ask this question to everyone. Don't answer it to another person. Only answer it to yourself, because we will see the difference. We'll see who you are. We will see the true you. Who are you when no one's around, when you get to create and make a sound? What are the thoughts that go through your mind? Are they positive? Are they negative? What are you going to do today to make tomorrow, making sure that yesterday never happens? Because we have to be that change we want to see. And that man, he felt thank you. It's not even his house, but he's giving a true thank you. And when you receive one of those, I promise you'll want another. People say thank you all the time, but get a true one. A true thank you will hit your soul, and you'll want it.
Now, people, we're here at It's My House. We're gearing up for 2023, like right now. So we can start building up some momentum to catapult us into next year. So we're planning to do some collaborations with Chris Collins. That's what we've been listening to here today, of Hope. And that stands for housing our people everywhere. And they have a website, which Chris will give you in a moment or so. And so we'll have events with him here in Florida. We don't have a date yet, because I just met him this past Friday on Clubhouse, but as soon as we have it, we'll let you know. The dates, that is, if you want to attend here in Florida. We've got a good base of people up in the Chicagoland area, so I have to talk to some people, as well as Chris, on doing something up there because, you know, it's coming up on wintertime up that way. So we might have to do something on the inside. But if you're outside of those areas, because on our switchboard we have people from different area codes, just contact me at 425-520-0605. That's 425-520-0605. And let's see what we can do as far as bringing Chris Collins to your neck of the woods. Now, we're not talking about just a simple talking head lecture, but as Chris has been mentioning throughout this live stream today, we're planning to do live projects, boots on the ground where you get actual hands-on experience. Some people, and people have different motivations. Some people might be looking to what can I do, what can I build to save hundreds of thousands of dollars so I can set this up into my own personal Airbnb. Some of you might want to have a community-type project, a family compound. There's a group of people I know that they purchased, I think, like 110 acres of land in Georgia. So they're setting up their own community. All right, so Chris has got a wealth of knowledge in a lot of this stuff. He's more advanced than I am because I'm learning from him and taking notes just like you guys are. So, but boots on the ground. So if you're interested in that, once again, contact me at 425-520-0605. And, Chris, what's your website again for people that want to check out your website?
It is hopeforhousing.org. And you don't have to put the www in it. It's actually one of the HTTP ones. So it's just hopeforhousing.org or hopeforhousing.com. You can do hope4housing.org, and you can reach us at 309-542-6319. And we're ready to take orders. We're ready to help with projects. We are ready in any way we can to change what you're seeing in your community. And I do have something that I want to touch on about Chicago, so we can do that here in a minute. But I'll end there.
Okay, great. Touch on it, Chicago, since it's out there.
Well, you know, we wanted to be able to take, you know, the pistols out of people's hands. And we went to the most dangerous city in the – I did. I went to the most dangerous city in the country. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was asked by a blind man to come see what he sees. And it was on the day before Thanksgiving. So I showed up the day after Thanksgiving, and this man told me everything I was seeing. But he also showed me those boarded up houses. He boarded up 390 homes. He raised all the plywood. He did right there, a blind man. And the man hasn't been blind his whole life, but he definitely has vision and he has sight because he was carjacked by a 16-year-old, and he gave up the car, and the kid shot him 2 times in the head and 4 times in the body. But he was an ex-NFL player, and it's what by him being that, we actually had a connection back in the 80s. We had, I knew another NFL retiree. I called him. He was 15 minutes away from us. I asked him to come and meet him and meet up with me. And we have a National Football Association team called the Southside Raging Bulls for 18 to 40-year-old, and we have taken them from the lifestyle that they were living to a dream that they've always had and they're getting to play pro football in the 2023 season. And I just wanted to share what a blind man is doing. And he's also the human, he went and got the job, but he's the outreach director for workforce development for the Great Lakes Naval Base.
Great. Now, Chris, the nine friend, what I call the nine friends audio I played, he called his friends, he pulled up in nine pickup trucks. More than likely, there was at least two people, at least one other person besides the driver in those pickup trucks. So let's say bare minimum, you had 18 people. So how can I phrase this? Now, let's say you've got let's approach it this way. You've got raw materials that haven't been prefabbed. You know, the floors haven't been, you know, put together. The walls haven't been, you know, put together and all that. So in your opinion, if you had 9 to 18 people, take either model or whatever you want, let's say they're going from zero. They've got the materials there, but they have to prefab, you know, the floors, the walls, and that type of thing. The trusses, the roof, prefab time, and then, or if the materials are already prefabbed, how long would it take to assemble if you've got 9 to 18 people? And, well, let's just start with that question first.
Okay, and I'm going to ask one quick question. How big of a house you want to talk about? Because we can build any design.
Excellent. We're sticking with tiny house style. Let's go with something. Hundred square feet.
Okay.
Living area.
Square feet.
Right. That's fine. You're right.
Okay. That would probably be built and closed in 30 minutes. If it was 1,000 square feet, and that would be them assembling it. They would assemble it, they would stand it up, they would close it in, and put the door in, and you walk in.
Okay.
If it was prefabbed, it would be as fast as you could. I mean, if you got 9 guns running on 4 walls, and you got to attach 5 screws down for each corner. You know, what's it going to take you? A minute? Bam, your walls are set.
Right.
Then you turn around and you all these guys holding trusses, and you got to attach a screw underneath each one of them to attach it to the top plate. That's done in another minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. And at the same time, they turn around and you start putting the roof on it. And you start putting the siding on it. When you're talking about something small with that amount of people, I would say what you need for that is around 4 people. 4 people can sit there and assemble that in a few hours from scratch. And they can close it in. Utilizing the next few hours to whatever, how long it takes them, you know, to spend. Some people work a little slower when they start getting on a roof or something. But
right.
If you were looking at 1,000-square-foot home and you had that many people and the walls needed to be built in 1 hour, all those walls would be built and the trusses would be on their way, they would probably just about be done. And they could turn around and go and stand it all them walls up in an hour, or sooner. We're talking about quite a few people doing the same thing, and that's what it's all about. Is you know, the more hands you put on it, the faster it's going to go. because that started out on how I asked the 25 people. You know, I went to two people and I said, hey, I'm at least 50% your power, but maybe I know something you guys don't. But I'm here for free. Will you take my help, you know? And they said, yeah, but I said, okay, get your tools and tarps and meet me in the driveway. And I walked across the street to five people, and I said, there's three of us. And then, you know, I hear them over there. He's like, hey, man, he's volunteering us across the street. But I asked the five people, I said, look, there's three of us. We're a little more than 50% your power, and we want to help you get your house done today. Will you accept our help? And they said, yeah. I said, get your tools and tarps and meet them in the yard. When I went to the next house, there were six people. And I said, I got eight of us. We want to help you get your house done today. Will you accept our help? We're stronger than you. And he said, yeah, I've been here for a week and I ain't put a dent in it. And I said, okay. And when I was done, I had them all in the yard and are out in the street. And I started with a house that no one was at. And the guy that was at that sixth house, he booked me. And it was about him. He's like, well, you said we were going to do my house first. I said, yeah, but I said, you're going to get my house done. I said, we are, but we ain't doing it first. And, you know, it was the part where he was saying, I want mine now. Like he was better than everybody else in the neighborhood. And he wasn't the first one that I went to. So I didn't even do their house first. I did the one next door because it was an elderly couple and they were with their daughter. So we went in there and saved everything we could save of their home and had it on a tarp outside so they could save their memorabilia. And we had their house gutted and aired out in 25 minutes. And I said, now we're going to get it all done. But I did it anonymously. I didn't go with my name. I went in a vehicle that had a different license plate on it. Nothing was in my name. I wasn't there for Vane. I wasn't there for me. I was there to help them and help we. It was about bringing that community together. And that's exactly what I saw. And that's exactly what was – it was an infection. I went into an infected area. I infected it with something, but I infected it with positivity, and we put a stitch in it, and we made sure that that wound never was going to come back, because if you look at Nashville, you would never know it was underwater.
Mm. Powerful information, people. Matter of fact, Chris, as you were speaking, I had to text a friend of mine. You reminded me of a conversation that I had with this guy maybe about 2 or 3 months ago. Your skill set and your ability to educate people. Let me tell you the concept. I'm thinking out loud right now, but we were thinking about the TV show. I don't know how many of you people that are listening have watched the TV show that MTV produced. You can probably watch, you know, the reruns of or on-demand episodes of it on YouTube. The show titled Pimp My Ride. And for those who are not familiar with that show, Pimp My Ride, essentially the host of that show was a rapper named Exhibit. Well, he's still living, Exhibit. He would knock on somebody's door, and then typically the person rode into MTV. And, you know, I got a van, they got a car, they got a truck. That's a jalopy. It just needs repair. Okay. It's all beat up and everything. So, you know, Exhibit would come knock on the door. You know, I'm here to pimp your ride. So he would drive off in the jalopy. Then they would take it to a garage. This show's based out in Los Angeles, California. They would take it out to a garage where you had auto customizers, okay, and they would essentially take something that was just beat up and transform it into they would pimp it out. That's what they would call it, and they would make it into like a brand new car. I mean, they would like probably go overkill on some stuff, but that was the whole idea of the show. So it was a very popular show for MTV. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, and I text my friend, hopefully he might be calling in now and listen. By listening to you, Chris, I would like to take that same concept, but because there are people out there, it's Monday, there are people out there right now that are facing eviction. Some of them have their own notice. the sheriff's going to be out there tomorrow, maybe later today. There are people out there facing foreclosure due to this pandemic and other things, okay? Because the pimps really hit people in the last couple of years or so. So as I listen to you speak, because you're talking my language, and I'm learning a lot from you, I like to take that idea and do a housing version of it. Now, I don't know what we would call it yet, but people can be educated on how to do this. And we did a show last week on the Amish, and Amish sort of do this already. Well, anyway, your thoughts, Chris?
Habitat 2.0, that could be the name of the show. And that's what it needs to be, because we need to be using the technology of the 20th century so we can reverse what we've done more damage to this planet in the industrial, industrial revolution, and in 100 years than we had in 1 million prior. So we have to make drastic changes, because we are a plague to this planet, but we can also be the cure, because that's why we're here.
Right, right.
Oh, and the show I'm on, I'm in with you on that. And
yeah, because we can, you know, just launch it on YouTube or something like that. Now, let me ask you another question. There are many churches around here in the United States, as well as global. I'm for the sake of this conversation, United States. Now, many of them have a homeless ministry. Now, the ones that I've run across, and I'm not knocking any of them, because they are serving, they are meeting needs. But many of them that I have run across, and I have run across all of them, just a small fraction of a fraction of them, they might have a homeless ministry where the homeless will come in and they'll do a Bible study and then they'll feed them. Others, they'll go out, it's an outreach, they'll go out in the community to a particular spot where these people will meet them, and they'll give them a sandwich and a piece of fruit and a bottle of water. Others, like the Salvation Army, they have shelters. The ones I'm familiar with are the men's shelters. I'm assuming they might have family shelters and women's shelters as well. But the men's shelter where, you know, if you make it on time, with 5 o'clock check-in time or 6 o'clock check-in time, you know, you're not under any substances, you don't start any fights, any trouble. You got to, you know, they might let you in for 3 days rent-free, and then the fourth day you have to pay rent. And if you don't have a job, the people come through in the morning for day labor, and people earn, that's how they earn their rent money to stay there on the daily. And the rent money, depends on where you are in the country, for that particular Salvation, it might be $7 a day, it might be $15 a day. It just depends on which area of the country that you're in. So now, I'm saying all that to say this. Although those programs are a help, because everybody's got a different situation, I really don't see those as a permanent solution to homelessness, because I think, and I got this, I think I shared this with you, and this is the origin of this podcast, It's My House. I had a squatter in my house, and it took me almost 3 years to get that squatter out of the house. So after I decompressed from that, because I was going to court at least twice a month. I live in Florida, so D.C., that's where the house is. You know, that's 900 miles away, man. So I'm looking at, I looked at the common, because I saw the people beside the squatter. I said, you know what, the common denominator that I saw is that these people don't know how to build their own house. And if they knew how to do that, they wouldn't try to be squatting in somebody's house and abusing the system, you know, the court system, the agency systems, and trying to stay in there. So I haven't run across any, there might be some out there, I just don't know about it, okay? And there could be, but your thoughts on, because I look at that as like an untapped market. what you're doing, it's like, I don't know anybody else that's doing it. Even Habitat for Humanity, they're really not, well, from what I know about Habitat for Humanity, you need to have a job, you got to qualify for a mortgage on top of, and I agree with this, you know, you got to put in a certain amount of hours to build your house. You have to have a vested interest that way. So I'm on board with all that. But so, like I say, there's a lot of people out there that are in rent court right now, or they've already been through rent court and they're facing eviction. Now, they're healthy people, but they just don't know how to build a house and then where to build it. So your thoughts on that, all of that.
Okay, there's an opportunity zone in every community across the country, and you can just look it up real simple. Look up opportunity zones in America. It'll show you every one of them. You can zoom in on them. You can do anything you want to do. That is what HOPE is. HOPE is a program that will teach you to build your home, but not only teach you to build it, it'll pay you to build it. I'm not asking you to come out and put your hours in and then turn around and tell you there's a mortgage that we're going to have to make sure that it meets, and if you don't meet it, I'm going to take it back. Because 50% of the homes that Habitat builds, Habitat repossesses. So that's not an answer. It most definitely is still a problem. That's why I'm trying to claim it. Because if I can create a 20-plus an hour job, all going to your ability, it doesn't matter what your disability is, you are accepted because you will be a purpose for someone. You will change someone's life today. And that is where I just need you to show up. My thing was, is if people would show up and give me 3 hours a day, I'd give them a $20 bill and I home to live in. And I can afford to do that if we have a project going. And that's you telling me where the land is, where, you know, I need everybody in the country to honestly step up, be accountable, and talk. Tell me what the problems are. And if you don't do it, I look at you as being the problem. So if you've heard me, and you don't reach to me, I don't know who you are on this podcast, I'm not ever judging anyone. You judge yourself by not doing it. But if you ever meet me, man, I got a memory that I don't forget. And if you say something to me, I'm going to remember that you said it, but I'm going to see if you did it. Because your words need to have accountability and they need to have action. But, you know, I was in a room that they were talking about action versus knowledge. Which one do you do first? You know, which one's better in business? Which one's this? And I listened to everybody and their brother, all the way to Grant Cardone, lit going off on this. And I made one statement, and it wasn't said by nobody in there. And I said, you have to have action to get knowledge because you have to think. Your brain's always thinking. What do you do with the action and the knowledge is totally up to you. You're an individual, and no one's going to ever make your mind up for you. You can be influenced, but ultimately, good or bad, you made up your mind. Well, we want to be able to show people in a positive way with incubators, not just youth incubators, but human incubators, because we need to get back to the roots of humanity. And this will stop the insanity of people thinking that they're better than someone else. No one is any better than anyone else. And if you put someone down, you need to really look inside, because you're the one that might be upset at something that you are. You need to love. People need to look, and they need to take the blinders off and realize, hey, guess what? I just turned on a little bit of your dimmer switch. There's so much more. But when your light is lit and you're out there, every person you'll ever see from this moment forward, and you have hope, it's real. And that's humans on planet Earth, okay? That's real. And it takes all of us to work in unity. And that's what it says. Without it, it doesn't matter. So if you're religious, you'll know it's in the book. I don't speak religion because I speak to you, whoever you are, wherever you are. And what I love about the technology today is I'm going to be able to speak into this thing, speak into a microphone, and everyone on Earth will hear my message because it will translate to their language. And that is going to be the most powerful day on planet Earth when we all light up, because it's going to be brilliant.
Well, I've been taking notes the whole podcast, and I like what you just said a few moments ago. You need to take action to gain knowledge. Because many people get paralyzed with inaction, or even fear sets in, because they're trying to figure everything out to the last step, so that, you know, everything, you know, before they start, everything will be okay. However, as you stated, as you take action, you gain knowledge, and the more steps you take, the more knowledge you gain to solving whatever challenge that you might be dealing with. Sort of reminds me of the Red Sea. When Moses was there with the Hebrews, which symbolizes an impossible, what appears to be an impossible situation. However, as you just stated, as they stepped, each step they took, the problem of what seemed to be impossible started to part and depart, and they just, so I like the way you broke that down. I think I was in that room, or I don't know if I was in that room for the whole session. Was that in the same room we met in, Unleash Your Potential?
Yeah,
I was in that room. I wasn't made the whole time, but I agree with you. You have to take action. Even if it's a little tiny step, but each step that you take, you're going to be gaining knowledge.
That's right.
But a lot of people just have that backwards. They want to know before they take action. So thanks for breaking it down that way.
Definitely.
All right. We've been talking with Chris Collins here. If you want to speak with him, got any questions, his name of his organization is HOPE, which is an acronym for Housing Our People Everywhere, and 619-768-2945. Press 1 if you want to ask Chris any questions directly. Now, Chris, like I said, we met on Clubhouse last Friday. Do you happen to have a Clubhouse room?
I do. It's HOPE, Housing Our People Everywhere. I've only done like 4 rooms. I think I've only done 3, but I got over 500 followers for that, though. It's the thing about Clubhouse. I really like it for the fact that you don't have to follow everybody, okay? And in the beginning, I was just meeting so many amazing people. I was following everybody, you know, that I was – and I was like, well, now are they really interacting? So, you know, every now and again here, you got to go back and clean up, which I'm following 5,000 people. But, you know, there's 3,000 that are following me, and it's the interaction of those 3,000 that are following me. If you look, since they added the back channel and we get to have a discussion without going over to Instagram, my Instagram had got hacked. And I've got to go all the way back into the very beginning to the people that started Clubhouse, because, you know, it was private. And
right.
It was invited. And I happened to be invited. I came in February. You know, it launched in December there. And I was in right at the beginning, and you know, it was so amazing the people that I met in the beginning, because these were all influencer people that wanted to have something that they could come and gain more knowledge from each other. And it wasn't about monetary gain. It was about having a conversation. And now people's turned it to, you know, trying to sell a product. Now, what I say to people is this: I didn't charge you anything to talk to you, give you what I've got to offer you. What was it worth to you to pay attention? Because it's the only free thing in life that you have. And if somebody is pouring into you, you're getting their knowledge. And I surround myself with people with MBAs, PhDs, and, you know, bachelors, and you name it. Rocket science, it don't matter. Neuroscience, anything you can possibly think of, I surround myself with them, because I'm getting their knowledge and what they paid for and their experience that they were paid for, and I'm getting it for free by paying attention and can learn more and more about the human being, because we're the human race. We're human beings, but we're not being human. And that needs to be the change you want to see, because it's going to be extraordinary. And that's just doing that little extra from ordinary. And I just ask for 20 minutes a day. Think of someone else besides yourself that ain't in your family. And if you did that, this world would be a different place tomorrow.
Your thoughts on, I guess we're out of the pandemic by now. I think things are back to whatever you call normal. But the court systems across the country are backed up, because at one time a lot of the court systems around the United States, including housing court or rent court rather, was closed. But now I think most courts, if not all, are back open. They're calling cases. People are going in default. People are getting eviction notices. People are getting foreclosure notices. People have huge tax bills that they have to pay, property tax bills to pay. Any solutions on what might be happening, generally speaking, within the next 6 months?
I'll tell you what, in the next 6 months, and you're also talking about the entire winter. So this is all going to be happening. There's no doubt about what the need is going to be, happen to be met. But what hurts these people when they get these judgments against them, they can't go and rent somewhere else. So that's where we have to step up and make a difference right now. I mean, I could produce 80 1,500 square foot homes a day, every component to it, out of one of the machines. And if that was set up to do that, how many jobs did that just create? How much income is going to now be brought into that community? Because what do people do when they make money? They spend it. But if you spend it local, supporting those local businesses. Hear what I did in my community. We can do it in every community across the country. I went up to the business and I said, hey, you guys got what? Up to 35% advertising budget to get people in here to buy your product? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, will you get a 20% donation that you get a tax write-off for if I can get people to come in here and shop at your store and buy your product and say they're a Hope supporter? And I said, you don't have to pay unless it works. If it don't work, don't cost you nothing. I said, but I'm going to share because I want to support your business and I want your business to grow, so I'm going to talk about it. So if you go to Tony's Tacos, Toba's Pizza, Great Horse Bread Company, Wilson's Cycle Shop, Smoker's Den, Smoking Glass, Smoke Ace Tattoo, Blackwater Tattoo, Fat Jack's, McGuire's, Poblano Burritos, Eric's Restaurant, Heating and Air, Concrete, Electrical, Plumbing, Buy a House, Buy a Car, Get Married, Get Buried, Get Your Nails Done, Get Your Dog's Nails Done, Get Your Hair Cut, Go Buy Hair, I don't care. Just say Hope when you do it, and that business will donate 20%. They need to know that you're there for a reason. And it's been the hardest thing to do, to tell people. They'll say yes and they'll do it. But without having the advertising at the point of sale and showing the support of the business, I do have about 400 stickers in windows throughout it. But they see it when they go in, but when they're paying, they forget to say it because it's in the back of your mind. And that's why I tell people it always needs to be in your forefront.
Okay. People that are in it now, like I said, here at It's My House, we're starting the new year 2023 like now, although it's at the end of October 2022, but we want to build momentum going into 2023. So we're starting now, right with this podcast live stream right now. So we'll be doing offline events. We're talking about hands-on offline events here in Florida. We don't have a date yet, but we'll let you know. And then up in Illinois, I'm going to say within the Chicagoland and extended area for right now. We'll let you know on that. But if you're interested in two geographical areas joining us, or if you're interested in your neck of the woods, wherever that might be, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, what have you, you know where you live at. I don't. Contact me direct, 619. No, hold it. That's this number. 425-520-0605. That's 425-520-0605. And we can, a lot of the things that Chris has been talking about this morning, we can actually get hands-on and do them. As he stated a few moments ago, it takes action to gain knowledge. Most people want to know, and some people want to know what they know, what they know that they know, and they want a guarantee on top of that, and then they think they'll take action. And a lot of times, those people never take action. So you've got to take knowledge. You got to take action first to gain knowledge. It's as simple as it is. That's what it is. So contact me by call or text on those numbers. Chris, now, do you have any other time this week to come back on?
Sure. I'll make time. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to be on the show.
Just let me know what you know what time we do it now, so we got.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, which day?
Sure. I mean, I'll do any of the days that you need me. If you want me tomorrow.
Let's shoot for, I tell you what, let's do Wednesday, this coming Wednesday.
Okay.
Same time, and that'll allow me to group some things together. We'll probably, I'll talk to you in between that anyway, because like I said, we'll be collabing with Chris Collins and his organization. So if you're interested, just let us know. Now, Chris, I know you're in demand. Do you do any events by Zoom?
I do.
Okay. Because that, during the when the pandemic was really going strong, so to speak, who wasn't on Zoom? Seemed like,
right.
I knew about a Zoom call at least one or two or three daily.
Beforehand.
I got Zoomed out.
I've done the Zoom, the meetup. Man, there's so many different ones of them things. Even Skype, But, you know, I do natural disaster recovery, you know, search and rescue. I've been doing that. I've kind of stepped back a little bit this season here and not done as much. But, you know, during the hurricane that just hit, we were able to save 600 people by boat. And I'm very proud of my team, and I wanted to mention it and just, you know, let all them people out there know that that we're all back here always thinking of them, and we want them to be safe. And I've got people boots on the ground right now. We're in Pine Island, and I've got, you know, we need about 1,400 homes there, and we need the world to know, you know, there is such a serious need everywhere. But when Mother Nature steps in, you know, these are people that are just like your neighbors, but most of them are elderly. And, you know what I mean? So that's what you're there in Florida, you know, but it's just where we are trying to start that rebuild and that recovery area, all of that devastated situation. And over in Puerto Rico, you know, we have people on the ground everywhere. So, just wanted to mention that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, speaking of elderly, I get Google alerts, and I get Google alerts on various topics every day. Well, something that pops in my alerts, if not every day, almost every day, you have elderly people that are being evicted, and then a friend of mine, she's been on this live stream before. She lives in Northern California, where they just about a month or so ago had, you know, wildfires. So they're rebuilding. Your thoughts on those two categories of people, plus reentry people that they have done time in prison and they need a place to stay, or they're going to go back to prison. Your thoughts on those three things real quick.
Definitely. Those are key things that we need to think about, and we need to embrace our elderly. We need to take care of them. On the fires going on in California, you know, and the rebuilding of all of that, you know, I was able to get legislation passed that they're building 42,000 steel-framed homes right now in California with a $5.8 billion budget without touching any of the money the cities have to put toward what their problems are. I'm working with LA. I've got a meeting with them next week about us doing five parking lots to get people off of Skid Row, and we're doing 2,500 units of our STAT units, and those are superior to a tent, is what STAT means, but it also means immediate. But these homes don't burn. So what the governor did was he passed a law in November that it says you can't build out of wood, even these temporary houses. But the beautiful thing about the temporary steel structures that they're building, they can be taken apart and built into something else. It's a huge erector set. So when I showed them all the added advantages, a reason to do it, but if my homes would have been up in those woods and those forests would have been on fire, the house would still be standing. Or I could use the house to rebuild it because I can recycle it. It doesn't lose any molecular structure during the recycling process. So as far as the wildfires, that's the way I feel about that. You don't need to build out of wood. Don't make sense. So as far as incarceration, you know, Every person that has been in the cell that I spoke with, because I went and done that, and I would I'd look at them and I'd say, okay, you're eligible for parole, but society says that you paid your debt. Now you know you're going back to a city with a problem, and your city's going to look at you as being the problem. Even though you've been gone, now you're back. They're going to look at you as more of a problem. I said, what if I gave you a name instead of a number? What if I gave you an address instead of a cell? I gave you a house that you get to stay in. But you help me by learning this trade. I'll give you a job. And when you graduate this, we'll build a home for your family. And all these people that you're with will be doing it right there beside you, and you're going to build their homes right with them. And I said, and I'll give you a reason to go back to your city, because you'll be the solution to your city's problems that they had before you. And every one of them said they were ready to go. Because I told them they wasn't ready for the city, because the city ain't ready for them, because they don't have anywhere for them. And I said, so they're putting you out here with more knowledge on how to be a criminal because of the people you've met than a positive on how to keep you from coming back, because there's a 95% recidivism. If I change that by 5%, that's 100% more than we're doing. But I think I can change it by 50. I think I can change it by 60, 70, 80. Because if we reach them all, we can teach them all. And I'm not saying we're going to get them all because there's some bad people, but they're bad people because of experiences they went through life. And I asked him, you know, I got a guy, you know, he had tattoos on his face. I walked into this homeless situation, you know, where it was like 15 people in there. And I said, anybody in here would like to have a full-time job with benefits that you can, not just a job, a career. And this guy looks at me, just got out of prison, and he says, what about my record? I said, did I ask you about your record? He said, no. I said, and it wasn't that he was going to work for me. He was going to work for another company. And another guy, he said, I just got out of prison myself, you know, and he said, which I knew him, and he says, you knew that. And I was like, yeah. And he says, but man, I'm up. And I said, well, I'm going to do a job fair on Thursday. This is, you know, Wednesday. So tomorrow you have to be out there at this time to be in there. And they showed up. And the funny part was, there was five employment agencies that were trying to get people to show up. And the only people that showed up were the people that I brought there. I got to go there. None of them, all five of them, had not one person show up for this job fair to go to work at making Caterpillar parts. I just helped the company get a 20-year contract, but the Caterpillar looked at me and said, can you get me 40 people to do this career? And I said, yeah. And he said, I've heard enough. He said, thank you, Chris. And this was 7 o'clock in the morning in a restaurant. So situations happen whenever and wherever. You never know who you're standing next to or who you're going to meet. I wound up getting my hand, you know, somebody came up from behind me and grabbed me while I was standing at a register trying to buy my wife some breakfast because she just worked third shift. And I turned around and he said, Chris, he says, you see that table behind me? He says, that's a Caterpillar in all the big ways. He says, but that's a 20-year contract, he says, that my company needs. And will you go over here and let me introduce you? And I said, yeah. And I went over there, and he talked about supporting my project and this and that, and introduced me. And this man asked me. It took 2 minutes. And then he thanked me and told me I could go. He had made up his mind. Well, they got the contract because I got a message the next day saying, hey, let's get things moving. We got this. So the sad part was is they were supposed to sell me a factory. And it used to be a General Electric factory. And I was going to create jobs in there, and I was going to do a prison program in there. I had it fenced off right there. I was going to put in 200 units so I could have 200 people coming out of prison at a time, not necessarily in the city, but they could see it. And because they needed to understand that I don't want them to be looked down upon and be walking around the city because you don't have a way to go. And it's just work through the program. This program is going to move you. You're going to be ready, and you know when you're going to be ready. But all of them also said yes. But that when it came down to me getting that factory, I made the deal, told them I'd have the funding. I had it, called them. They tell me they have an offer for $11 million more than what they offered to sell it to me for. And they can't sell it to me for that no more. So it was greed again. And you got to watch that, because if greed isn't fixing a need and it's just about taking care of me, then you're in the wrong business. And that was just an experience this past year during the pandemic as all taken place. But I would have rather had 2,000 people working in that building, pumping out hundreds of homes a day, somewhere to stay.
Well, Chris, you've offered a lot of, I've taken a lot of notes. I'm sure the people and the board was filled up today. They've taken notes. We'll be back here, people, with Chris Collins of Hope this coming Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll just do an open mic, but we'll be back here Wednesday at our regular time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 Central Standard Time, or just for your local time zone, wherever you're listening around the globe. Make sure you have pen and pencil. Now, once again, now if you want to, because we're going to be planning offline events where we shall be doing building. If you want to learn how to build debt-free with no mortgages involved, stuff we talk about here on and off. That's what we'll be doing with Chris. So you can contact me direct, and that number is 425-520-0605. Chris, give us your website again.
HopeForHousing.org or HopeForHousing.com. You can also use the number 4, Hope, the number 4, Housing.org. And my phone number is 309-542-6319.
Right, okay. And like I said, we'll be back here Wednesday. Now we've already started. So what we're talking about is building up some momentum to catapult us into the year of 2023 and doing some things that that need to be done in the community. And, I mean, everybody's got a different situation, so you can apply the information any way you wish to. Chris, any closing statements before we sign off for today?
I'm humbled to be here. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I love questions. It was a gift that was given to me to run my mouth. I just didn't know it was my purpose till I was 32, that I was just supposed to show people that who they are, and I just thank you for that, for giving me the opportunity to speak and to share what we're doing and what we're going to be doing with all of you since we've all connected now. So thank you.
Okay. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.